Caleb's like a in the wintertime, 3 or 4 socks around, right?
I mean, it's
you gotta have an extra pair in his bag.
You gotta depend on how far the golf course is. A pair to drive to the golf course in, a pair for the front nine, a pair for the back nine, and then you can put the pair you drove to the golf course in back on to drive home.
Ew, dude, you can't put old socks back on.
I mean, I only drove to the golf course, so that's maybe
your feet
an hour,
still
2 hours.
Sweat.
It's okay. That's a three sock bag.
Did you mess us up?
I would hate to do your laundry.
Welcome back to episode 72 of the Loggerhead Golf Podcast. And yes, we still have a podcast.
It's been a while, right?
It's been a while.
We're still here.
Yeah. We're coming out of the silly season, so there's actually stuff to talk about in the golf world finally. So
we're about to go into another little break, though, another little lull.
Yeah, but the 2 weeks before all the new equipment. But yeah, so it's what was it, November or October?
October.
Yeah, so October since our last episode.
Yeah.
So what's been kind of going on since then?
I quit golf.
A lot of stuff happened. Yeah.
Something major happened in November. Sorry. I would say that on my side, I've just been teaching, fitting, playing a little bit of golf here and there. I'm finally playing golf pain-free. And, of course, winter decided to come early. We had snow flurries last week here in Wilmington. So
yeah, but we've had summertime up until we had wintertime.
I'll say October was awesome
for 3 days.
Yeah, November was nice.
Back in the summer again.
Yep. But I mean, I would say kind of gearing up the game, using that downtime to do things for ourselves, which is nice for a change.
Yeah, what a concept.
You know that running joke all the time, if you want to join the golf business, don't plan on playing golf, right? Well, we've gotten to play a little bit of golf here recently, which is nice. What about you, KT? This is an important time of year for you.
Yeah, so kids are 10 and a half months, sick every other week because of daycare, so it's been a lot of fun for me. This is my time of year to do my, organic shopping, so... which means rifle season for deer in the southeast. So
filling the freezer.
Yep, getting the freezer full of natural, non-injected meat. So very, very happy for that.
Why is it GMO free?
It's corn and sweet potato enhanced. So just really spending a lot of time with the family as the girls are starting to learn to almost walk at this point, which is kind of crazy. I've played 3 times since July, so... hopefully, once they get a little bit more content, I can get back into some tournament prep.
Yeah. You were also injured, though.
Yeah. Tore my wrist.
Yep.
So.
What about you?
Working and playing golf.
Yeah.
So, just got back from Pinehurst last week where it did snow on us.
I know. You guys had how much snow?
It wasn't that much. It just dusted. But it was enough to cause about an hour and a half delay. But it was cold. Of course, the 1 week I go play golf, it's cold.
I think you have taken over the black cloud title.
I think so.
I think it's lifted off my shoulders. And what we mean by that,
I have taken the burden. You're welcome.
This summer, if Caleb and I played golf together, it was either gale force winds.
Or it rained out of nowhere.
Rained out of nowhere, like the sunny type of rain. And then if not, we would get rained out.
Yeah.
There would be something that would happen.
Something happened.
And then we started to realize that we thought it was me. And then
it's just followed me around.
Yes, as we got into late October, early November, it definitely followed Caleb more than I. Yeah. And then last week proved that. I did not play golf last week in that weather. I'm a fair weather golfer.
I played 4 rounds in it. Well, no, yeah. We played the Sunday before though at Muni.
It was
pretty
perfect
cold.
Outside. It got cold like the last 5 holes, but it was like 50, 45 degrees and no wind.
Yeah.
I'm a 2-layer guy. If I have to wear more than 2 layers, I can't play golf.
Pinehurst was more than 2 layers.
Yeah. It's a no for me, dog.
Yeah. It was brutal.
Yeah.
So what are we going to talk about today? What's the big news in today's golf?
Well, since our last episode... and the golf world, as far as winning goes, nothing changed.
Right.
Scotty's
still on
the
contract.
Was that our last episode? Like, Scotty won that week?
I think so.
That was Tour Championship, right?
Yeah. Or just right after Tour Championship.
Yeah. Scotty being a dad looks like the dad curse, I guess you can call it.
No, we had President's Cup was our last episode.
He still played well.
Yeah, same. Doesn't matter.
doesn't matter. I guess Scotty doesn't have the dad back and still somehow wins by six. I'm going to put an asterisk on this tournament.
Why is that?
This tournament is only three of the top 10 players in the world were there. Like,
and there's what, 16 players in
18,
the field?
18 players, and they get world ranking points.
But still, I mean,
but it doesn't discount the fact that
he dominated that event.
Scottie Scheffler shot 25 under over the course of four rounds after having played golf in 2 months.
How many weeks has he been world number one now?
80. He just passed some. I think
he's getting ready to pass Greg Norman. I think he's at 84.
I think only three are in front of him. Is Greg Norman?
Well, they've already confirmed that he is going to pass Greg Norman. Even if he doesn't play golf until March, I think he's still going to be number one in the world.
He's got enough of a lead to maintain it.
And I think he's got 3.5 years to catch Tiger. So
good luck.
We're getting there.
I mean,
he's the only guy that's shown that it might be possible.
Right. I was going to say, if he keeps it the way he's going, he might start rewriting a lot of records we didn't think could be rewritten. You know?
Big change. Last year, I mean, think about, we said this before. Last year was the year of ball striking. Well, I guess not last year, this year. This year was the year of ball striking.
It feels like it was last year.
It does. It's almost Christmas.
I mean, I guess this is the start of the 2025.
This is PGA Tour, you know, but this season, is the year of ball striking. His ball, you know, that can't get any better for Scottie Scheffler. He just has to maintain.
If he just putted a little bit worse than the average putter on tour,
he was 70th something in strokes gained putting this year.
Yeah.
Think about if he just gets halfway better.
Yeah.
How much more tournaments is he going to? Well, I mean, I guess now he's only going to probably play 16 events a year.
Yeah.
So how many did he win this past year?
9.
I mean, so... which, like, it was cool to see in his press conference because they asked him, like, what are his goals? They're like, how would you, like, what are your thoughts on this past year? What are your goals? He goes, I would have liked to win. He goes, how many tournaments did I play? Yeah, I would have liked to win them all. You know, so that kind of, like, that's that championship mentality, right?
That Mamba mentality.
Huh?
That Mamba mentality.
I'm going to call it that Max Verstappen mentality.
Yeah.
Four-time world champion.
I think for me though, for Scottie Scheffler, like he's obviously won all the tournaments, and he's got the huge lead in world rankings, and he's going to possibly set some records for length of time at world number one. My thing with the last year, or I guess this past year on the season,
let's just call it last year.
Right, last year,
last PGA Tour season.
For all intents and purposes, that is.
We're not going to keep getting stuck on this.
He's played well in the majors. Like, I don't want to hit on it too hard, but like, he's got to win the majors. He, you know, like this year, Xander, or last year, Xander Schauffele. Xander Schauffele won two majors, right? And Scotty Scheffler only won one. So you'd have to say that Xander won the majors this year, like won that kind of the battle. Those are the tournaments that matter. So like, if you're going to be the dominant player and like be compared to Tiger Woods, you've got to win, I think, the majors more. Now, obviously, like, Valhalla set him back. That was kind of the big thing. I think that broke his momentum.
Scottie Scheffler is in a league of his own. Xander's closest to him. And then I think Joaquin Niemann and Bryson DeChambeau. That's the top four players in the world
now. It's hard to compare them, though.
You can compare Bryson. He won a major last year.
I know he did, but we only got to see him play, compete against each other four times.
And if we're going off of averages, it's pretty good.
They're 1-1. Yeah.
Pretty good. But that's where you're, again, I think Scotty's in a league of his own. And if he just keeps incrementally improving, right, he's going to be tough to catch. And the biggest thing that proved for him this week was putting. Now, what was his biggest change this week?
Him and Phil Keenan went to the claw grip.
I see. Worked on a different grip with the
inside of 15 feet. He went with the claw.
Kyle, if he was your student, and he walked in, is that something that you would have possibly facilitated? Like, number one player in the world walks in and says he wants to get better at putting. Would you have thought about a different grip?
I'm just gonna look at it.
Which I mean,
the biggest thing is, would you look at this?
So you sure
first thing you do when I see something, I say, would you look at that?
Well, like the. I think the biggest thing when
how
it comes
to that video,
we're gonna have to insert that now. Yeah.
Yeah. Would you look at that?
That's the first thing I did when I saw him on the putting green this week.
I mean,
it's like the Leonardo DiCaprio just
point.
Well, I think the biggest thing with putting, as you guys know, if you're chasing a feeling, it doesn't matter what it looks like or what you're trying to do.
Yeah.
But again, like if you look statistically, he may be the number one player in the world, but he didn't sniff top 10 in strokes gained putting. Didn't even sniff it. So statistically speaking,
he has a lot to improve on.
His putting stroke and his putting last year from a statistics standpoint was mediocre.
Yeah, he managed.
So like if he's coming in to like regardless that he's winning, again, he putted, let's just call it mediocre and won a lot. Now, so now if he improves by 20%, so let's put a small number on it. Does that put
a big number?
Oh, yeah, I would say
But does that, I mean, is that four majors or three majors in a year?
Well,
by getting 20% better at putting.
His strokes gained putting number is definitely skewed. He has more makeable distance putts than any golfer in the world.
Yeah.
Which, what's the statistic of making a 12-foot putt?
It's like 28.5%.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, which
one putt wise?
Yeah. 3 out of 10 putts. Well, most guys only hit it inside of 15 feet, even on the PGA Tour, maybe 4 or 5 times around. Scottie Scheffler was doing it 9. So him missing more of those opportunities will kind of skew his strokes gain numbers a little bit. But you're exactly right. It's not something that he has to go and be a top 10 putter in the world because his ball striking, his strokes gain tee to green is making up for that.
But I think if you see him get inside the top 25, it's correct. Like, again,
it could be scary.
Almost like, I want to say boring golf.
Oh, yeah.
Because on Thursday, if he has 26 putts and shoots 6 under, don't even watch Golf Friday. Don't watch it Saturday. And at like 5 o'clock on CBS, watch the last 4 holes and he's going to be right there.
Which, how is his 4 holes coming down the stretch this week? He kept throwing dart, dart, dart. Like, it was, he shot 9 under final round. Like, that's just stupid.
Well, he had the 29 on the front 9 round 2.
Yeah, it's just stupid. So,
and he actually made some putts in that front 9.
I mean, so, and that's the biggest thing. I can't tell you how many times last year you saw Scottie Scheffler either have like a random 3-putt because his speed control. Like, I think last year his where his stats probably hurting, and you probably chime into this a little bit, Kyle. Like, I feel like his speed control was never dialed.
Well, especially like those 8-9 footers. Like, if you look at like even Valhalla, I get that the whole arrest thing happened. Every time he got in that 8-9 foot range, he either made it, or he had a 4-footer coming back.
Yeah.
It got a little poppy.
I would say,
you better have a driver this next
obviously
year.
Obviously, he puts a lot of stress on his putter with how he hits the ball. And I'll say, in watching him play, I think something that Scottie Scheffler does really well with, he is notorious for missing that momentum putt. Like, if you make this putt, you got momentum, and it kind of kickstarts around everything. He misses that momentum putt. But somehow, he continues to maintain his play with the driver
with his ball striking,
his ball striking, giving him those opportunities. Yeah.
With his ball striking, he's minimally going to have 4 birdies around.
Right.
Right. So it's like the biggest thing is making sure those, because you're going to make 1 bogey at least, like, and that comes down to poor ball striking. But he was constantly having those, you know, 30-foot putts that he would hit to an awkward 4 feet of distance. And
that's what I'm saying.
And, like, it's sad that's when you have the number one player in the world that we know is going to win, and you're sitting there like, I don't think he's going to make this. You know, which I will say, Tiger was kind of the same deal. Everyone says Tiger's putting was outstanding. His statistically, it was not terrible, that good.
Man. I say
situational putting
was really good. What hurt Tiger a bit in the day is how many times could he lip out a 3-foot putt?
They were putting, like, during his prime, like, that's 2000s. They were bumpy greens, things right. like that.
I mean, he lipped out some short putts.
Mm-hmm.
It almost seemed like
Hank Haney-er.
Yeah.
Dude, I played yesterday. I had one of the most brutal lip outs. Like, worse than when we played. Like,
I don't even talk to me about lip outs.
Hello, darkness, my old friend.
No, I think it worked this week. We'll see what he does with, I mean, he has, what, 4 weeks till Kapalua. I said it right this time. We'll see what shows up there. I mean, something about Scottie Scheffler, he loves grainy Bermuda greens.
Will Bryson be at Kapalua?
No.
Nah.
So it's
he's
only
not a, he's not he's a not, tour member. So
he's not a tour member.
But he won a tour event. So you have to be a tour member?
Yep.
Yeah, we know that merger is not going to happen.
Do we think a lab putter could solve Scottie's putting?
Asterisk. I want to say no, but like, what did I tell you last week? What news came out? Like the top 10 putters in the world this year
are all using mallets.
All using mallets. Now, different variations of right. toe hang, but at least it's a mallet head, right? So, you know, it goes back to the question: does forgiveness matter in putters? I think it matters more than most.
Yeah, I was gonna say
most clubs,
especially now. Especially now, you know, with the greens being what they are,
strictly comes down to. So, like Lab came out with a new putter this week. It's called the Oz Point One.
Oz Point One and Oz Point One I. So yeah. Oz Point One will be out in January. It's the non-insert model, and then the
full aluminum.
Yep, and then aluminium. The insert.
That's like aluminium. Yeah.
Came out. And they started with that special offering of the Adam Scott model at 1800 Smackaroos, and then obviously came out with a retail version at $599.
I mean, the biggest thing, we've seen it on tour now, both Adam Scott. I get those two mixed up.
How?
They're both 6'5" and good golfers.
Okay. That's all they have in common.
Two of the best golf swings in the world. They've been using it for a couple months now. And now that we've seen it in person, we've rolled it. Lab has their first ever putter with an insert.
How do we feel about that?
Do we think it's going to take Lab to another level? That's essentially what I'm asking.
We'll find out.
Yeah.
We'll see.
I think visually it will, because it's like, it's the...
You no longer can complain.
Yeah, it's the clean... I mean, if you were to... I mean, it really does blend in. I mean, it's the cleanest looking head. Plus,
you can get crazy with alignments and make it.
Yeah, they've got 28 front post alignments and 18 rear post alignments. Plus, on this model, you can change the offset. You can have 0 degrees or 2 degrees mm-hmm. of that shaft length.
Now, for those of you that already have a Lab putter, you have 2 degrees, right?
Correct. I believe so.
And then your press grip will either determine if you actually feel it or not.
That's why, like, on the Link, they don't recommend doing the press 2.0 pistol.
Because it's...
the way the shaft sits in the head.
So, I mean, I will say, the reason why I switched over to my Lab putter was not to fix a yippy stroke or anything like that. That's the biggest kind of misconception with Lab golf. They think it's the cure to bad putters. For me, I wanted stability throughout the stroke. Well, my DF3... I feel like provided more than the Mez. That's why I went with the DF3. I also like the look of it better, right? That's ultimately what it came down to. So I think the Oz can definitely outperform any putter they put out simply because of the look factor. You're going to get a person that's either used a Scotty Cameron Golo, a TaylorMade Spider, because the head is, if not smaller.
Yeah, Odyssey Rossi.
Odyssey Rossi. Number 7. Yeah, or even a number 7. You can no longer say, oh, that looks ugly. Like, it's busy. Looks like a spaceship. I can't tell you how many times, like, someone walks in, where's those ugly putters at?
They sound just like that.
No, but I'm...
or like, they're like, hey, would you look at that?
And that's the biggest thing. I mean, that's one of those situations. Don't knock it till you try it. I know we've talked about Lab putters in the past, but... it's the longest a putter has stayed in my golf bag. Let's just say that they're doing something right.
Because next year's the year of imitation.
Well, every influencer on YouTube that plays golf has got a Lab putter, so they got to be doing something right.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
I'll say the Brian Bro strokes look good with Lab putters. Yeah. Some other strokes that Lab putter's working overtime. let's just say that
it's punching out at the end of the day. It's like, damn, I'm ready to go home.
You know, there's some videos I watch out there, and I was like, damn, this is giving my putter a bad rap.
No regrets, not one letter.
Yeah. Nah, I don't care. As long as the ball goes in the hole, I don't care. But
I think that's the confusing part for me with the Adam Scott situation is supposedly, like, he's got this awesome, like, almost butane torch-looking counterbalance Oz, and they said statistically, when he's put it in play, the counterbalance putter is better than the broomstick, which is technically now called a sweeper.
Thanks,
and we'll get into that here in a second. But they said that every model that he's put in a countermounts, he putts better when
it's no different than his irons. How many iron sets did he play this year? I mean, Miura made him a custom iron, and he doesn't even play it.
So they have a limited, like
that's like a smack collaboration of, that's like iron, a smack right? in the face. No, he goes back and forth between them.
He played for maybe a month and then went to the KM700s.
Well, he
and
played
then,
the,
now he's on to something else.
I think
again,
he played
though.
The
He's got Adam, the KMs with his logo on
I think
them
he played the Adam Scotts again down in Australia. So like I think he's getting ultra like he's overanalyzing like turf conditions, things like that for specific. It's like how many sets of clubs does he bring with him places? But
he's searching for something.
Good problems to have. I mean, who are we kidding? We would all probably do the same thing.
And as we've saw, is next year with the whole lab thing's the year of imitation. You've got Bettinardi with the Antidote Series. You've got Odyssey with
square
the
to square.
Square to Square. Scotty Cameron's supposedly in February launching theirs.
Yeah.
Chances
PXG
are.
PXG announced, like, they launched theirs, which theirs actually looks pretty decent.
Yeah, flop, but.
I know. It's not fully balanced.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's.
The Odyssey's is.
And I think that's going to be the main issue is the modern golfer believes marketing more so now than ever.
I was gonna say, well, I think what's going to end up hurting Lab is the average golfer sees Odyssey and thinks that's a good putter.
Yeah.
Well, because they're the number one putter
right,
in golf.
Because they've
right?
heard of that name before.
Yeah.
You know, Happy Gilmore putted with an Odyssey putter. Okay. But they see Lab and they think, I don't know what that is. And it sounds gimmicky.
Obviously,
you
know? Lab knows what their worth is.
I'm not saying that. I'm not saying they're not.
It's our number one selling putter.
But to the average consumer doesn't know it.
What's the number one thing we probably hear in fittings? I don't want to spend Scotty Cameron money.
Right.
Scotty Cameron's always been known as that money putter for the public. Then Lab came out and was like, hold my beer. Now, granted, Lab's made in the U.S. Everything's... There's a reason why their putters are that expensive, and I'll always say that. You know what you're buying. You're buying quality.
The thing is when it comes to that, I've got two hot takes on that. Most people that say, I don't want to spend Scotty Cameron putter on or Scotty Cameron money on a putter are the same people that buy 3 to 4 drivers a year searching for something to
get that's
the T-box. But they have 40 putts around, number one. But number two is the customization part. There's not a single putter company out there for under, again, and this isn't including the fancy $400 TPT shaft. I'm saying just the basic shaft. For under $600, there's not another putter company where you can choose what color putter you want, what alignment age you want, what head weight you want, what color shaft you want, what grip you want.
No, you're exactly right.
With Scotty Cameron or Bettinardi, you've got to buy the putter. So that's $400 to $470.
It'll be probably
then you
got
to send it to the custom shop. Which is $369 plus the $51 shipping fee. But then if you want to do other things to it, you got to pay extra fees on top of that.
Yeah.
So you're $1,200 deep for a Moto putter versus $549 or $649 with the Acura for a fully one-off custom putter.
So, no, I mean, that's what I'm saying, that you know what you're getting when you purchase a Lab. So like, and that's the biggest thing. It's like I wouldn't be scared of that price tag and – You know, I would say
I'd rather spend $650 on a putter that saves my game than $1,000 on a driver that I'm going to use 11 times around.
Well, and the thing, I'm like, the reason why that, what's the word I'm looking for there? That's
stigma,
I guess, is there is because traditionally the putter's been like the cheapest club in the bag. I mean, you know, used to you could buy ping putters
for $149.
No, I was going to say, I say used to. I mean, this is like in 2000 for $65 to $75.
Yeah, I was five.
But technology-wise, at that time, all putters were basically the same.
I understand that.
Yeah.
But the average golf consumer does not. A putter is just a putter. You know what I mean?
No, so. You're exactly right. I mean, it just comes down to...
I have been told by many customers, I can putt with any putter. I just learn how to adapt to it.
I'm not gonna lie. I said that when I was playing professionally. I said that in college. I said that in high school. I said that probably up until like last year. Like I always said, like, oh, I'm just gonna get what
I
like.
A lot of golfers would say that.
I got what I like thought looked good, and then I would try to train my stroke to it. Now
your stroke?
Yeah, I would have. It, sometimes my stroke would cause me to have a stroke, but because my perfect putter in the entire world would be a. Essentially a Cameron Smith putter. look alike. Like copy and paste that, put it in my hands. I wish I could putt with that.
Which one?
That 009.
The
short slant. Like,
okay. So yeah. The 009, the short slant. Short not slant. The, like, the Craftsman, like the old school blade style putter.
No. I always felt they were too long. But I wish I could be able to putt with that because visually that's what suits my eye. But I just, for a guy, like, I almost have zero face rotation. So I would probably pull or push every single putt with a putter.
I do not have zero face rotation.
You might have the most I've ever seen. But we can get some measurements on that.
Yeah, it's more gear effect on a putter than most people on a driver.
I know.
He ought to be able to tell you.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. He just said it. Gear effect. So, I mean, I think this next year is going to be huge for putters just for...
I'm going to invent the first bulge and roll putter.
Oh, my God. You're going to go get a 3D printer? You're going to go work with Cobra?
He's going to go work with Avada.
Yeah.
Him and Bryce are going to team
what
up.
What is it, Avoda?
Yeah, Avoda.
The Bryce and Irons?
Yeah.
I mean, I think you need bulge and roll in every club in your bag.
I'm here for it.
I mean, it might be a great idea.
How long have we had it in drivers and fairway woods now?
Might be a great idea.
I mean, yeah. So,
don't knock it till you try it, Nick.
Yep.
So the hot take today is 2025 is going to be the year of putting.
Yep. Sounds like it.
Mm. Yeah, your ball striking is over.
Well, not yet.
No,
as we've established last year. This year is not last year yet.
Damn it, Caleb. No, we said it's last year. Your ball striking is over.
We took a little break. And we forgot kind of what time.
Your ball striking broke my damn elbow. So
yeah, well,
it's your
I thought you said you're better now.
I am better.
So we've got, what, Christmas season now, right? What are some of our favorite golf gifts for Christmas?
Let's each name three because then we got to get to show and tell.
Okay.
I think this year, with us, we're the first account in North Carolina to have the Vortex golf range finder.
I was
going to
mention those two.
So, what's cool is
I was going to say rangefinder. Rangefinder is a great gift.
Rangefinders in general, but I like
because you always
Vortex.
Need a new one.
Yeah.
Always need a new
well,
one.
Well, price point is Bushnell, you know, they really haven't changed anything, and they're $629 for their most premium. Vortex is coming in at $399.
I like that blade.
What is Vortex,
blade that's,
Kyle?
So Vortex is an optic company that's, you know, they make very high-end long-range shooting scopes, binoculars, spotting scopes. I mean, their military uses them for a lot of the special operations, and then they got into this golf venture about 2 years ago, and that's what's kind of cool with their product is it has the same warranty as their optics, and what that means is everybody's got a buddy that likes to get a little tipsy on the golf course, and let's say let's say that it falls off the golf cart, you run it over on the cart path and it smashes it, they replace it, no questions asked. Vortex has a lifetime replacement guarantee on their products.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, so they have a good warranty.
I am brutal on a rangefinder. Let's
brutal
just say
on
that.
Pretty much everything.
But that's also a good point.
But
that's
they've
also
got
a good point.
The blade, which starts at $199.
That's what I said. The blade's one I like.
They got
it's
blade
simple,
slow.
It's easy to use.
It's
yeah.
$299. And then can't even remember the name of the, but at $399 you get.
I think it's like the blade. That's the high end one, right?
Yeah, it's like the arc.
I can't think of
the arch. I don't know,
but it's got the magnesium chassis.
Let's see here.
What yeah, doesn't it have like the diamond lens, something like that? Well, the biggest thing that's cool about the high end Vortex has the image stabilization.
An-arc. Yeah,
yeah, it's called the Anarch. It has image stabilization. So let's say you're someone that might have a tremor or that you're not stable with your hands. When you click the button, it automatically will kind of almost like pseudo freeze like what you're trying to shoot. And that laser, the way that tritium optic works on there, it reaches whatever object and then kind of it's almost like in a rifle scope, you have your focal plane. It locks onto that and regardless if it's moving or not. And they also have the scan feature. So you can actually scan. It tells you the yardages as you're moving.
So we all agree rangefinder is great.
That'd
great
be the top one because that's something that most golfers traditionally won't buy themselves. And when they do, like how many Bushnell V3s do we still see? And that's like 12 years
well,
old.
Yeah. I'm going to be – Bushnell hasn't all made a rangefinder better than, like that,
than
that,
the 1600, like, which is like 20-something years
I'll
old.
I'll say that Bushnell rangefinder is so good. That original like V2 and V3 that came out.
So that'd be my number one. Number two, probably some Grayson gear. We just
you're a big apparel guy.
Yeah. Well, again, when's the last time that somebody...
He's a shirt snob.
Yeah. Ugh. Yeah, somebody brings in a nice quarter zip or a nice polo. So,
yeah.
And then probably number three for me, it's hard to go wrong with golf balls.
Yeah, so I was going to say golf balls are underrated.
I said don't forget about golf consumables.
Yeah,
you know, your golf balls, golf clubs. But I was going to say, I think my maybe somewhat outside the box golf gift for the golfer would be golf itself. Buy them a round of golf at a golf course that they've probably mentioned they would like to play.
I never even thought about that.
You know,
because you can go online and
a lot of places buy a voucher. Yeah, you can do a lot of the options there, or buy the gift card to that golf course.
Holy cow!
Purchase a round, whatever.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, buy a round of golf. Right.
A great stocking stuffer.
Good idea.
Like, imagine getting into stocking.
Look at me.
And you're like, bam.
I'm an idea, man.
You're like, bam, Tobacco Road. Like, how excited is that person going to be?
They're going to be pretty pumped. I mean, I played it last week. It's in awesome shape.
Oh, I make the day trip there whenever.
Yeah.
It's that kind of golf course. My kind of underrated, especially now in the day of handmade things, I would say like a custom ball marker, something like that. I think it's a way to get a personalized gift for someone. I mean, especially if you want to get them something golf related, that means they're either a serious golfer or really getting into it. So, and how many times you see people kind of marking their ball with something random, get them personalized ball marker, something that of what they like,
yeah.
You know, sports team, things like that. So,
the world's your oyster in that market, yeah. There, you know,
then I was going to say you can never go wrong with golf balls.
Yeah.
Never go wrong with golf balls, but I would say now probably my third would be like a custom towel or head cover, things like that. Now,
it's a lot of custom on your shopping list.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think
very personable.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice. I mean, I be different, do something different.
I like it.
You know what the biggest hot take for me this Christmas season is?
What's that?
Oh, and we'll see if you guys agree. Okay. You know what the number one, when they did this survey, and I don't know who they asked. I heard it on the radio.
Who they were.
Correct. They said that people don't like receiving socks for Christmas.
Shut up.
As an adult.
Yeah. Who doesn't like that?
Exactly.
I think that's kids.
Yeah.
That's kids.
No, this was an adult survey.
Kids are too damn materialistic nowadays.
Well, what it might be is they got the wrong kind of socks.
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, you can be picky on socks.
Don't go get the Gildan socks. I'm going to be... You know,
I'm throwing Gildan under the damn bus.
That's the first that came to mind. Hanes. You know what? Hanes.
Well, I think that's a great gift because when's the last time that you intentionally bought your own socks?
My mom always put my mom always put socks in our stockings, and like I wear a hole through them every single year.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. There's the
we were literally talking about socks on the golf course.
Yeah, because FootJoy has some pretty awesome, great
socks. Features makes a golf sock. That's really good.
Features.
Evolve Golf.
I say low key. That's what I've been playing. I like them.
All right. Can we move on?
Like little small plug.
Can we move on?
I pay for them.
So I do not want to talk about feet anymore.
I know you like some feet.
I'm going to throw up. Stop.
Did you bring up socks? You did.
No, it's Kyle. I will never bring up anything.
So report needs to replay. It was Nikki.
Do those socks stop the sweat?
Nah, nothing does, but they're just comfortable.
Caleb's like in the wintertime, 3 or 4 socks around, right?
I mean, he has
an extra pair in his bag.
You got to, depending on how far the golf course is, a pair to drive to the golf course in, a pair for the front nine, a pair for the back nine, and then you can put the pair you drove to the golf course in back on to drive home.
Ew, dude. You can't put old socks back on.
I mean, I only drove to the golf course. So that's maybe
your feet
an hour,
still
2 hours.
Sweat.
It's okay. That's a three sock day. Right.
Did you mess us up?
I would hate to do your laundry.
That's when it's super cold outside and you got to like think about stuff like that.
Flush.
Shank.
Hear me out. Hear me out. Well, this just hit the conforming list yesterday or Sunday. It's the new QI35 from TaylorMade. We have seen them in person.
Yeah.
I would say I might be a little excited for TaylorMade drivers in 2025. The QI10.
What was it you saw that was so different and new about it that made you excited about it?
The fitting system. Mm. The fitting system.
What was new about that?
But I will say, too, I like how they went away, especially in the LS head, from the sliding weight. I think that takes away, like, because even the QI 10 LS was still like the number one thing for people. It's like they're going to the regular head because they wanted that little bit more forgiveness. I feel like that sliding weight always kind of compromises a little bit of forgiveness. So I think in the new models, I think, you know, even their LS model all the way to their max, I mean, you can see a lot of people not have to get put in a certain area. We can get really dialed into specific head that they need.
You know what the interesting part about the bottom of this one is?
Well done.
Is if you take, and I know I said it earlier.
That's your trigger word.
Kobe Bryant's logo.
Yeah, the Mamba.
It literally looks like a Mamba logo on the bottom of this thing.
Yep.
I did not realize that.
Yep.
I will say that it's gray. Yeah. So I'm a little out on the color.
Oh, they'll probably have a custom program.
Like always do. Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah. Like the best color you have to pay extra for. You know.
Yeah, they'll come out with a blacked out version after it comes to retail. Right. And everyone's, you know, like, I don't like the color. And they'll be like, oh, they're now out. Now limited
for $50 more.
Yeah.
It's a black one.
And also they're going to sell out in a day.
Yeah.
But still market it.
Did you guys notice the interesting thing with QI on the conforming list?
What's that?
Out of all six versions, like left-handed, there's not one 12 degree listed on the conforming list.
No.
I wonder why that is.
In Tedder Sante.
Yeah. So
preparation for the new golf ball?
Maybe.
Mm. I don't know. I was, the jury's still out on this one for me.
I mean, we don't know until they're in our bets.
I mean, well, I mean, I've hit it.
I know.
Right. It still, it feels very, like, the,
it's a tailor-made driver.
On the surface, it's very similar to the QI10.
It's similar, but it still looks different.
It's something, like I say, we got a little more time to see what's different about it.
At least, because, like, from the Stealth to the Stealth 2, nothing changed.
I will say, in that, I know that the shape of the LS head, I think, needs to change a little bit. It's so toe-heavy in the tailor-made, it makes it hard to really visually look at that golf club, I think.
Yeah.
For a lot of golfers. Because I've had a lot of golfers tell me they don't like to look at that.
Well, I think they did make that change because the carbon face didn't used to run all the way to the toe of the driver. Now it does. Now they don't have that awkward little piece at that toe that doesn't look like it has any face part to it. So it kind of makes the driver look like it's doing this.
Right.
They kind of gotten rid of that in their new models. So
that shaping is what, to me, the biggest
thing. I would say, yeah, you're still in that boat. I would say if you've been turned off by the look of TaylorMade drivers in the QI and the Stealth 2, I think this is finally a TaylorMade driver you could put behind the ball that might, you know,
it's all matte finish, right?
Huh?
They went back to all matte finish.
I think so.
Yeah, matte.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like,
so. No, I mean, big year this year coming out. Ugh, we're saying it every year. Every year they're coming out with new drivers, but.
That's why I like Titleist and Ping. Every 2 to 2.5 years, you're going to get a product.
Now we're in that cycle this year for.
For
the other brands too, so.
So.
It doesn't have a cool name like GT. It's not a car.
Right. You know what I mean? You know.
The 440.
Fo-foty?
Fo-fos we tipping.
Yeah. Well, it's one for one.
Yeah.
Joaquin Niemann won the first event with it that he put it in play.
Right.
So, G440. This driver's going to be like a matte black with a little bit of a blue accent.
So they're kind of going back a little blue, like a little G-series.
Blue. Yeah. A bluish hue.
Nice bluish hue.
And they've added carbon on all the Max models, too. So now it's with the G430, only LST and 10K add carbon. Mm-hmm. All of them have carbon. And
so now they got, what they call that? Dragonfly?
I don't know. Their biggest thing this year is, what was the number one thing with Ping drivers compared to everything on the market?
They were just too heavy.
So they fixed that.
Yeah. All the head weights got, depending on the driver, between 8 and, I think, 14 grams lighter.
Yeah, that's good.
So,
yeah.
So the
you're getting with Ping. It's like Titleist. You know what you're getting.
There's probably nobody that's like super pumped, oh, the new Ping driver's finally releasing. But...
No, like, it's still going to be the most anticipated driver we have with people coming. You got probably that, you so. Got that new Ping.
Yeah,
you got that new Ping.
I'm just saying, like, you're not like, I don't know. When you think a new driver releasing, you don't think Ping's not the first thing to come to mind.
Correct.
Well, it doesn't have that Callaway TaylorMade fanboy marketing,
right? That's what I'm getting at. But that definitely interested to see how.
If I can drive the ball like Joaquin Niemann, I'll play Ping.
Yeah, I think anybody would.
I haven't seen it in person yet, so.
Bring back the four wood too.
Four wood.
They're gonna have a four wood now.
Four wood.
Is it 16 or 17?
16.5.
16.5.
I would say,
and it's actually four. It's not a high launch.
I'm more interested to see how this club is going to perform versus the QI 35.
I hear you. Oh, yeah. The E-Lite. I still think they missed on it. They should call it the E-Lite. If you're going to spell it that way, call it the E-Lite. It's actually, Callaway is pronouncing it Elite, but here at Loggerhead, it's the E-Lite.
It's the E-Lite driver.
I mean, Eli Callaway, E-Lite.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, that's supposedly why
that. How did it take us to think of that?
I know.
What are your thoughts on it? Because I know you have secretly, yesterday. You hit this golf club, right? Is it going to be as elite as that the name suggests?
I will say I do think it's a little more forgiving than the AIs.
How much AI they put in this one? Because the AI smoke.
Well, they got a 33%. I think they're at 38 now.
They're just slowly bumping it up.
I think they're 38. They have to come out with your new driver.
I guess they got to take it by the time they get to 100%. AI is probably taking over the world.
We're gone.
Yeah,
we're not here.
Will Smith had a movie about that.
Yeah. Sorry to get dark here, but we won't be here.
That train has derailed.
I would say I do think the miss hits are going to be better on this compared to all across the entire line. I think
12 degree hit.
I think the AI smoke in all heads, they were still a little bit. As far as the spin access goes, I think essentially if you mishit it off the toe, you know, wherever that ball's heading, that's where it's going. Same with the heel strikes on the AI smoke. I think that's kind of – this has a little bit more spin on those off-center hits to where it kind of promotes – helps keep the ball in the air from what I've seen.
I think the interesting thing with this –
Will I jump out and say it's better than my triple diamond?
Don't know.
The numbers didn't show it.
Really?
It was equal.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not swinging my driver 100% right now, so I'll give it a fair shake when we actually get in the bay.
Full shake out.
Yeah, I need Kyle to fit me for it. Let's just say that.
Well, because again, we're not compensated, so we can say whatever the heck we want about this stuff.
Facts.
The interesting thing for me with the Callaway series is only the triple diamond is going to come in a polished finish. The other ones are matte finished.
I do think that looks good.
So they took a lot of feedback from Tour, but again, I don't care. I don't see the need why they went up in price on the triple diamond only. Because to me, it's the same everything that AI Smoke was, but now they're because it's a different finish, they've made it $50 more. I think that's a little gimmicky.
I think that they've seen that Titleist is getting their.
It's a Titleist route.
$649 for theirs, so everybody's going to jump. Because the QI-10 is going up as well.
Yeah. Their one head is... $649, the rest are $599, I think.
No, they're going up as well, too.
Not on all of them. I think they're just doing the LS model more. Okay. I don't know. But, we're not here to determine prices. Now, we now know over the past few years, drivers are worth that kind of money.
Right.
I mean, because the shaft options that you're getting with it, and then you pair it up with the aftermarket shaft. I mean, we'll be the first to tell you that the driver's worth spending the money on.
But you said the putter is worth spending.
Golf is worth spending money on.
Right.
there it is.
No, but I will say I do think like the Max model, the Max Fast, I think these AI smoke heads, like I know I'm getting a triple diamond. I might venture off into one of these other heads. Let's just say that.
Yeah.
In the E-Lites.
Well, I was gonna say this might be the time for you to try like the core head, you know.
Correct.
But so obviously as we kinda hit on too, this is like a quick little detour and we'll wrap this thing up.
We got to go to work.
I say all the golf, like the driver prices are going up, right? We've seen the Titleist at $649, and some of these models we're assuming is kind of come into that range as well, too.
It's an investment.
Are there any options for that golfer that doesn't want to pay $649 for a driver?
Do you have one up here, Miles? Do you have another one, or is this the last one? Okay. Right. I was going to say, your option
to my,
is...
To my point, there are some really
good
options.
Wilson and Toredge. You know, the new Toredge right now...
Is hot.
Actually, it actually performs really well.
The competition head?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Your $399 custom fit with a hazardous Gen 5 black, so the same...
And they have a Denali.
Denali red, Denali blue. So the same, essentially, shaft pack that TaylorMade, Callaway, and Titleist offer.
Right.
It's not a proprietary shaft. It's the real McCoy.
Yeah.
Custom fit, you're $400.
Yeah, and it's crazy. And we haven't hit it yet, but that new Wilson.
The Toredge.
I say the Wilson's going to be
In my opinion, Toredge is killing it right now because ball speed-wise, they're competing against drivers double the price.
Yeah.
So, no, I will say.
And like I said, the new Wilson driver looks really good as well, too.
Yeah, the new Dynapower series.
Yeah.
So there's some options out there.
Yeah. Oh, the Adapt, the Dark Speed Adapt.
I'm 50-50 on this whole thing.
It's a fitter's worst nightmare.
Yeah. It's visually, this is probably the best looking driver Cobra's ever made.
It does look good.
Functionally, with this 33 setting adapter. So all the drivers are going to have a QR code on it. So you can scan it with your cell phone and it pulls up the chart with all 33 settings.
I said, oh, that ball went driver. 5 yards right. I'm a click light.
I was like, this click is the perfect driver for that golfer that's a gearhead and likes to tinker with their stuff and is never satisfied with
it. You can have 33 drivers?
Yep, exactly.
And one?
You can mess around with that thing all day long. You won't try the same setting twice.
You'll get tired before you finish them all.
Exactly. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. No, I'm
actually excited for this one because it's after 3 years of Bryson being away from Cobra, this is kind of like the first good-looking driver they've had.
I want to thank Daryl and my dad for investing into Club Conics because of this reason.
Right. But that's the problem, you know?
I want to thank them because I do not, in a fitting, want to have to deal with a guy complaining about the ball moving 8 yards. The ball's always going to move, so.
Yeah. I'll say this is one of those where my big wish list thing for Cobra this year and the new generation of the Dark Speed is I hope they made them a little bit more consistent than the current generation.
Yeah. LS was kind of sporadic last year where it was
a
really good
launcher when you hit it good
or really bad. Yeah. There wasn't an in between.
Yep.
The high bore. I hate Cleveland's marketing team with that guy that sings all the stuff.
It's awful. I'll have to admit.
I get that it works, but man, it is painful.
It doesn't.
There's another option for the driver that's below.
It works because you're talking about it right now.
Yeah,
but it doesn't.
Right.
But same thing. Under $500.
It's back
and
high forgiveness.
Yep.
Golf club here. So
and they spent more time. This is their words, not mine. And investing in sound because of how large in the shape it is.
Yeah.
So it's the quietest driver they've ever made.
I want the Sasquatch to come back.
The current Highbore XL that they have right now is a little loud and a little like pitchy with the way it sounds.
But I just hope it helps get the ball in the air because right this past year, ping was the option.
Yeah.
Right? Ping was the option. I think the current Cleveland was still just a little... It fit the right people, but it didn't give everybody that needed that high launch the performance that some of the other drivers did. I hope this high board kind of fills that void.
I think sound held a lot of people back on that Cleveland this year.
It just didn't sound quality.
Sound like an aluminum baseball bat.
Yeah, so. No, I'm excited for this, for the forgiveness route. I mean, I think this is going to be a huge year between Tour Edge, Wilson.
The budget driver. Because I don't think you can call it a budget driver anymore. Because
it's quality.
They're the same shafts, the same materials. It's just if you look at who they're paying to play their product, they're not really having to pay anybody.
No.
So
we're gonna see VJ in this driver?
Ernie Els.
No, I'm kidding.
VJ might swing a Zexio though.
Ernie Els is.
So this is the new Garmin R55 or 50.
R50. It's $5,000.
Yep. So it's $5,000. And what's really enticing about this is if you're wanting to do your in-home simulator with this specific unit, the only thing you need is an HDMI cord and a projector or an HDMI cord and a TV. Mm-hmm. So it's basically a GC quad with a screen on it and a super, like a gaming PC all in one. And it's pretty dang accurate.
So launch monitors for everybody.
Yeah, I mean, so this is something we can
order
here.
The launch monitor market's insane right now. I mean, it's like the drone market. The drone market blew up, you know, 5-6 years ago. Now
but up until this unit, if you bought even a Rapsodo or like a budget friend, like a Bushnell 3, like a 2000 or under, then you had to get a gaming PC.
So many ancillary options.
So you couldn't get a cheap gaming PC because the processor. So you're spending $2,000 to $3,000 on the PC. Then a projector, then a TV. With this,
I don't know anything about that stuff.
Is you buy this and you don't even have to connect it to anything. It's got a screen on it, but if you want to,
but plug it into a $12 TV, HDMI. I
did that video on the R10 and I practiced with the R10. That thing for $500, that thing was pretty dang good.
Yeah.
You got 43,000 golf courses for $100 a year.
43,000?
$100 subscription.
How many 43,000 golf courses are there?
There's 43,000 golf courses.
Minimum. There's at least 43,000.
Mind blown.
I wonder if it's got the mini golf course next to Captain Benjamin's on
there. So can we put this on our list of Christmas gifts we want? Or is this out of our price range?
Yeah, if anyone wants to get me that for Christmas, I mean.
I wonder what PUD is on that.
I don't know. I don't know, but. All right, boys. Well, let's wrap it up. We got to go to work.
We're back.
We're back.
But hopefully we'll be here next week. We'll see.
Yeah. Jeez.
Santa Claus is coming to town. Jeez. Caleb's off on a dark tangent this morning. All right. Well, thanks for tuning in. If you haven't already, like and subscribe. Turn on those push bell notifications because we do have some awesome content coming soon. And we will catch you on the next episode.